So, okay, so we are a speaker meeting in, tonight. We have a speaker who's going to share their experience, strength, and hope with us for 40 or 45 minutes. Whatever they're comfortable with, that's the journey to into and through Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm going to hand you over to Helen or to introduce them. So over to you, Helen.
Thank you, Steve. Hi, everyone. I'm Elaine. I'm an addict.
Hi, Elaine.
Hi,
Hey,
Elaine.
buddy.
Hey, Elaine.
Hello.
Hey, Elaine.
Thank you, guys.
Good
Um,
afternoon.
back in the body, right? Okay. I'm so glad and so happy to introduce this person to come and share for us. This person, I think, was the first person that I called out for help. I met her within the first few, within first few hours or first day of my joining NA, and she's the first person that I called, and to me she's really a rock star of recovery. She's so strong and such a big inspiration to me. And yeah, with no further ado, Jenny, thank you for coming to share with us. I'm so happy you're here. Thank you for being in my recovery.
Thanks, Helen. Just unmute yourself,
Thanks.
Jenny.
Welcome, Jenny.
Welcome, Jenny.
Yeah.
Hi,
Hello,
welcome.
folks. I'm Jenny. I'm an addict.
Hi,
Hi,
Jenny.
Hi,
Jenny.
Jenny.
Welcome to the
Jenny.
meeting.
It's good to be here finally. I was booked to come here a couple of months ago, but I was poorly and I just couldn't make it. So it's good to be here finally. I've had a strange day, actually. I woke up to having a power cut in this bad weather. Complete darkness for about 3 hours. I know it doesn't sound a lot, but when you're sitting there in it, complete darkness, and you're feeling powerless over it, it's not very nice. And even when the lights came back on, the door alarm kept going off, and the code for the alarm wasn't working, so it just kept shrilling, shrilling, and it was awful. And I had to call my daughter to come round and try and stop this noise, which she finally managed to do. But it wasn't very good. It wasn't a very nice day. But the lights are on now. Everything's okay. And I'm sitting in a nice warm flat again. I'm all electric, so even the heating went off, which wasn't nice because it's pretty damn cold, isn't it? But yeah, I'm from South London, as you might tell from my accent. I come from, South London Council Estate. I come from a time of I grew up in the 60s, of the hippies and music and festivals and all that sort of things. And the music and the drugs, it all went together. And you went to festivals and you took drugs and you danced all night. And that was me. And the people I went with, sort of, when the 70s came, they sort of disappeared and went to work, and got married and had kids and that sort of thing. And I wanted to keep dancing and taking drugs. which I did. But I met this guy. He was a registered heroin addict. And I thought that was so cool. Yeah, so I married him and I became a registered heroin addict. And that was my life for the next 30 years. You know, opiates. We had children, but my husband died from an overdose. I just went on in life to another man, another child, more drugs. You know, it just went on and on and on. Drugs, men, drugs, men. Until I was on my own, really. The men had died. If my daughter's father died from an overdose. And I was on my own using. And it wasn't very nice. Yeah, I was still using heroin. But my body was fucked physically. I had no veins left. I'd done my veins, they were all gone. And so I had to smoke the heroin on the foil. And that's what I did all day and all night again on my own now. My son had left home because he didn't want to be around me anymore. We had had lots and lots of arguments, me and my son. You know, we just didn't get on. I vaguely remember throwing a hot iron at him. You know, he was always shouting at each other. So he left home. So my daughter stayed with me. She became sort of my carer, but my enabler as well. Because if I wanted money, she'd give it me. So that was it, me and my daughter and my drugs. And so at the end of the 90s, I think it was, I put myself into detox for the first time. It was a detox center just down the road from me, just a bus ride away. And I went in there and I got clean. And I came home. And I used First Aid Clean when I got home. So that was no good. And then about 2 years later, I went in there again. And I did the same thing. Went home, used again. You know, that was no good. And I did the same thing the third time. It just wasn't working. I couldn't do it. But I went in for the fourth time. And it was the 21st of December, 1999. I remember that. Yeah, it's nearly 25 years ago. And I had a horrendous detox. Horrendous fucking hell. I came off the heroin and the methadone relatively easily. But it was the Valium and the temazepam and things like that that done me, floored me, that detox. It was awful. I had oh, I can't think of the words. I was seeing people. Was having hallucinations. So I just drink some water. Was having hallucinations of people from my life that had died. And part of me knew they were dead, but part of me was quite happy to see them. Oh, hello, Joe. It's really nice that you've come to see me. And we had a little chat. And the same went for another couple of people who came to see me. It was really nice. But I knew it wasn't real. Part of me knew it was not real. And the whole detox went like that. It was madness. It was horrible. And I was walking down the corridor of this place, and one of the women who worked there, her name was Rose. And I always talk about this. Her name was Rose, is Rose. And she stopped me in the corridor, and she had this book. And she said to me, "Jenny, we love having you here every couple of years, but you're no spring chicken." I was 46. "Why don't you do something different this time rather than just going home?" And I said to her, "Whatever, Rose. Whatever." And I look back at that conversation with Rose as the minute I surrendered, because that is when I surrendered. Just do whatever you want with me. I've had enough. I've fucking had enough. And she had this book, and it there was a list in it of treatment centers, and she picked one out for me. I didn't care where I was going, whatever, Rose, whatever. And the next thing I knew, I was in a place in Bournemouth, in Dorset, by the seaside. And Yeah, I was in a treatment centre in Bournemouth. And I stayed there for 9 months. I got funded for 9 months. I had a lot of issues. A lot of stuff to deal with. Because I was 46 and I've been using a hell of a long time. I didn't know who I was or what I was or anything. I was just a drug addict. That was me. A drug addict with two kids, one of whom didn't talk to me. That was me. And as for my family, they didn't talk to me either. My mum didn't talk to me, nor did my brothers and sisters. And I had another sister. Who I didn't even know I had. That's another story. She was, my mum and dad had this girl, right? Had this baby before they were married, before me. I was the eldest, I thought. But they had her before me. But it was the 1950s. And in those days, oh dear, in those days, you didn't have babies before you were married. Unmarried mothers, it was wasn't done. And so they had her adopted. And so I never really got to know her. I didn't know her at all. And she came back into the family, and all the others got to know her, and I didn't. Not at all. I didn't get to know her until much later on in my recovery. But that's another story. But anyway, I was in this treatment center. I'd never been in treatment before. Never want to go again. And I found it very odd. Sort of 20 addicts sitting in a room talking about feelings. Very strange, very strange. But yeah, but the thing I found was Narcotics Anonymous. We went to meetings and I clicked with Narcotics Anonymous. I tried other meetings. But Narcotics Anonymous was for me. I sat at the back of the room because I was scared. Although I sat there with my arms crossed and a look of "don't come near me" look on my face, Yeah, but I'd found my place, and I've been going to Narcotics Anonymous for the last 25 years. Now the thing was, I wanted to go back to London, back to my home. But everyone was telling me, no, don't go back to London. Stay in Bournemouth for a while. Just till you get yourself grounded, stay in Bournemouth. And so I did. Now I left my house in London, telling my daughter, "I'll be back in 3 weeks, Sam." I didn't go home for 15 years. And I spoke to her about this recently, and I said, "What did you think, Sam, when I didn't come home?" And she looked at me and she said, "Well, something had to change, Mum." So she had the lingo as well. Something had to change. And it did. Yeah. My kids were sort of grown up. My daughter was at college and my son, he was working. So they weren't little. Something had to change, Mum. So I stayed in Bournemouth for 15 years. I got myself a little flat. Well, I got myself a little studio flat, and then I got myself a flat. And I went to college. And I went to NA. And I got commitments in Narcotics Anonymous. And I did shares in Narcotics Anonymous when I was asked to, on my birthdays, on my year, 18 months, 2 years. I did shares. And I needed a sponsor. And I looked around and I saw this woman. Well, I heard this woman share at a meeting I was at. She's Italian. She's fiery. She's got a daughter. She knows, I think. What got me was she knows the steps. And so I plucked up the courage and I said, "Could you be my sponsor, please?" And she said, "Oh, come round for coffee and we talk." So I went round to her house for coffee and she took me on. And that was 25 years ago, and I'm still with her. It's amazing. It's lovely. We've seen each other through highs and lows, and it's brilliant. It's brilliant. I love her to bits. Yeah. There have been times when I've left her house thinking, "Oh, I'm gonna change my sponsor," But then I sit on the bus and I think, well, yeah, she's right, really. She's right. So I keep her. She probably thinks the same about me. And she has a sponsor, and that sponsor has a sponsor, and that's how it works. I have sponsees. And that's how we learn from each other. And that's good. That's good. Yeah, and I started the steps with her. Step one and two I'd already done. So with her, I started with three. You know, the one I verbally did a one with her. You know, I told her my life story. You know, which is pretty horrific. I haven't told every it all here this evening. But I wanted to talk more about Narcotics Anonymous. But yeah. And then step two about hope. There's always hope. Whoever we are, whatever has happened to us, there is hope that we can get better. You know, with Narcotics Anonymous. So I did my step three with my sponsor. And step four, I remember sitting up on the cliffs, you know, on the beach on top of the cliffs. Writing out my step four. But I came to a point where they were asking a question. I did it through the Step Working Guide. That book changed my life. Definitely just changed my life. And there was a question in it. God. And I couldn't answer it. It was going into my stuff, you know, about the people I'd lost, my bereavement issues. Asking me to write it stuff down. And I couldn't write. I couldn't physically write. My hand, my fingers wouldn't write with this pen, you know, it wouldn't go on the page. And I had to go and have some therapy to sort it all out before I could go back to the step four. Eventually I finished it. And did the step five with my sponsor. It took me 2 days to do my step five. I was exhausted at the end of it. I've heard people say, oh, I felt so light. You know, it was so lovely, lovely feeling when I finished my step five. And I'm thinking, bloody hell, I was just exhausted. It's true. That was all I got from it. Fucking exhaustion. Thank God I finished that. You know, but back to NA. I was beginning to look into service. While doing all this step work, I was looking to be doing service. You know, I had commitments in meetings, and the illness in recovery meeting that we sorted out. Because there wasn't an illness meeting anywhere. And a lot of us were on the interferon for the hepatitis C. And we wanted a meeting where we could all talk about how we felt. And so we started this meeting. And the ASC didn't like it that we'd started a meeting. But it's too bad we started a meeting, and we're just as valid to have a meeting as anyone else. You know, we're NA members. And so we went to the ASC for literature and stuff. And that's how it works. That's how it works. So I was doing that. The interferon never worked, by the way. It wasn't until I came back to London that I went to King's College Hospital for medication for my hepatitis C, and it got rid of it in 12 weeks. Yeah, so that was good. Just one pill twice a week. Yeah, because the interferon, you had to inject yourself in your belly. It was awful. And just like using again, sticking needles in yourself. But the stuff in London, it's just a tablet. Anyway, enough of that. But yeah, I started doing helpline service. That was lovely. 3 hours a week answering my phone and helping the suffering addict or someone who's new to the area who just wanted to know where the meeting was, or anyone who just wanted some advice. You know, and I loved it. And I went to the helpline meeting once a month, and I became vice chair of the helpline, and then I became chair. So it was back into the ASC. The ASC is the Area Service Committee. It's the big area meeting that you have once a month. Yeah, so I did that for a year. And then I got interested in the convention. I did convention treasury 1 year. Oh no, that was mad. That was crazy because I had 9,000 pound in my flat overnight. 9,000 pound of NA money in my flat. Yeah, fuck's sake. Is this how it works? Yeah. And I was smoking then, and I'd run out of tobacco. There was a guy down the road who was selling tobacco. So I borrowed a fiver out this 9 grand and went and bought tobacco. I'd never felt so guilty in my whole life because I borrowed this 5 pound out of NA money. Oh dear. But needless to say, I put it back straight away in the morning. The 9 grand went into the bank in the morning, and all's well. And the next year, I went up for vice chair of convention. And suddenly, the chair, went off. He said, "Oh, I'm not doing this. Don't want to do this. You can do it, Jenny." And so suddenly I was chair without being taught anything about it. Oh, dear. It was all right. It was all right. It went okay. People helped me. I was chair of the convention. We had a good convention. All was well. All was well. My higher power was with me and everybody else. Then oh, they had a huge loss. One of my dearest friends in recovery. He went out on his motorbike one Sunday morning. He went out on his motorbike. Crashed and never came home. He died. It was heavy. It was heavy. Wow. So we had that funeral. And then I had my 60th birthday. Big party as usual. And it was then that I thought, good God, I'm 60 now. Nick has gone. So and so is gone, this has happened. Yeah, that's happened. What do I want in life? Where do I want to be? And I realized I want to go home. I want to go home. So I made arrangements to come home. I'd spent 15 years in Bournemouth. I'd also worked outside of NA, with a music charity. And I'd become a I'd become a trustee of that charity. I've done lots of stuff, 15 years worth of stuff. Was all good, and I made so many friends, And there's a couple of people that will be my friends forever. But I needed to come home. So I'm home now, back home. Not in my flat. I've got a new flat. My old flat, my grandson's in my old flat. It's all been done up. Yeah, looks nice. None of the blood and gore on the walls that I had. But yeah, I'm back in South London. I'm not on a council estate anymore. I've got trees and woodland and a little village down the road and stuff, you know. But it's still South London. My daughter lives just down the road. And she's got children. I've got five grandsons. They're all beautiful. Yeah. My family talk to me now. My mum passed away 3 years ago. She had a stroke. She was constantly moved because of COVID, you know, and it might have affected her. So she passed away. Know, it was hard. It was hard on me. Yeah. Oh, I go and tell mum this. Oh, she's not here anymore. You know, it's strange. She's not here anymore. And I'm not the eldest anymore. You know, it's the other one. Never mind. So, when I came back here, I did the same as I did in Bournemouth. NA, Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I got my where to find out, and I did meetings, and I did service, because that is how it works for me. I do the 7 a.m. just for today meeting. I've been doing that for 4 or 5 years now. It started when we had the COVID. It's a lovely meeting. I've made loads of good friends there, like Helen, and others, you know. And we all meet up at the London Convention. It's beautiful. And I love my life today. You know, I'm 71. So sometimes my health isn't that good. But it's okay. You know, I get about when I want to. I like to go to music still. And, you know, when I want to get somewhere, I go. Only now, you know, I remember everything the next day. Because I don't take drugs. You know, when I used to do music back then, in the 60s, I didn't remember a fucking thing. Not a thing. Yeah. Not a thing. I don't know how long I've been talking for, but let me see if I've got my watch. Oh, nearly an hour. But I think that's about it. I'll probably remember stuff when I stopped. But yeah, that's me. I love my life today. I love Narcotics Anonymous and the friends I have at the moment in NA. Beautiful. Thank you.